The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everyone. This is Dr. Julie Helmrick. I'm a psychologist here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Welcome to Shrink and Drink, the radio show. All right, we have, we're sort of joking, I guess, everywhere we go about that the end of the world is next week. So, totally apologize. I'm sure there's a way that the professionals never, ever sneeze online, but I just did. Okay. All right. Welcome to the show. We have lots of questions here, and you shrink and drinkers are always very interesting, so let's just get right to your questions. I think we can get them all done. No, we won't be able to get them all done today, but we'll get most of them done. Hello, I'm thinking about getting the Courage course for my daughter who is 17. Do you think she is too young? Let's see, maybe. Maybe she's too young. It would probably depend on her maturity level. Most of the ways that the videos, I would say most of the content of the course is aimed at adults. She's certainly getting into that range. I learned a lot of this stuff, I think, when I was 19, so she's definitely in the ballpark. I probably could have learned it when I was 17, so now I'm sort of taking that back. Definitely the examples that I use as the teacher are really geared at adults. Although there's, let me take that back a little bit, the module on choosing roles for bravery, one of my favorite stories from that is, I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but there was a child who had the role of being like the class monitor or the class leader, the class captain, something like that. When this was an Asian country, I'm going to say Japan. I don't remember, honestly, my bad. But he was credited for saving the lives of some other children because of what he did. He went in to help, and somebody asked him about it, and what he said was, I'm the class captain. It's my job too. So that's a lovely story, I think, to get across the idea that courage and bravery has to do with some of the roles that that we choose to put on, the roles that we choose to take up as a part of our own trying to, you know, live in a courageous and a brave way on the planet. And he certainly leaned into the idea that, hey, maybe I should do more because I am the class captain. There was another example of this, and this kid was pretty young. Unfortunately, we had another mall shooting right in Portland, Oregon, a week ago? I haven't been following the story. I just saw one interview. The local news station had a crew out there, and they were interviewing a woman who was shopping in, I don't know the name of the store, but let's say it was a large store like our Boston store here. It was a large department store, and the shooting started happening, and the clerk, who was quite a bit younger than her, so the customer got down on her knees and was praying, and the clerk at some point grabbed her hand and said, "Follow me," and got her outside to safety, and then looked at her and said, "I need to go in and get more people." And he was interviewed regarding his heroic behavior, and he said a very similar thing. He said, "Well, I just thought I knew ways out of the mall and other people wouldn't know them, so I thought I should go in and teach them, go in and get people. So again, it's a role-based kind of thing. So is a 17-year-old too young for a courage course? In the beginning I said yes-ish, because of most of my commentary is really aimed at adults. But she's getting in the, she's definitely getting close to it, and now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I should do one specifically for teenagers because they're so worried about what other people think of them. Okay, now I've talked myself completely into the idea that it's a really good idea, because we have a whole course on how to not be controlled, or a whole module practically on how to not be controlled by the fear of what other people think of us. So it probably would be an excellent course for teenagers now that I've talked my whole way through that one. Okay, next question. My wife has been a little rough around the edges the last couple of days. It's really getting to me. She's pretty hard to approach when she's like this. What suggestions do you have that would help me deal with her? Usually people who are rough around the edges are just having a hard time, you know, for whatever reason. And I think people do have hard times around the holidays because their hopes are... sometimes they're just too high, you know. I mean, if none of us knew Christmas was going to happen ever, and we kept getting surprised by the the lights and the music and the being invited over for an event. In other words, we didn't have any expectation at all. If this were our first Christmas every year, we probably wouldn't be, you know, we probably could just enjoy it. Well, instead of, you know, instead of having the rough time that a lot of people have because of the expectations that we have about the holidays and the hopes. In fact, I really do love that line, you know, the hopes and fears of all the years, you know. That phrase, right? It's part of a religious song for Christmas, but I think there's a lot to that. Like, you know, Christmas, we put a lot of hope and fear of all our years into these few days of the year. Well, my hunch is your wife is probably under a little extra stress, and you can do one of two things. I mean, sometimes people are under stress; they just need some time. Right? They just need some time away from other people. So you can sort of lay low a little bit, let her calm down, smooth out a little bit. Or you could really try, you know, to do something, you know, in a more of a direct way. Let's just say she really likes, I'm trying to figure out what she might like. Bubble baths. You could tonight, for instance, when, you know, she's sort of winding down at the end of her day, you could go run a bubble bath for her and you know, set up some candles in the bathroom and set up, you know, some nice smelly stuff in there, stuff that smells good, and just say to her, you know what, you've been a little hard to live with the last few days, which makes me think you're having kind of a hard time. I ran a bath for you. And or something like that, that she would find soothing. And just, you know, you're getting your point across that she's been a little hard to live with on the one hand, and on the other hand, you're also getting validation that she's probably going through something rough, and you are also, so this is sort of a three, you know, sort of a triple intervention here that will make a difference. One, you're saying you've been a little hard to live with. Two, I'm sure you're going through kind of a rough time. That's a validation thing. And then three, here's what I decided to do to help you with it. I ran a bath for you. So that's sort of a, you know, a simple way to get a message across to somebody that they're a little hard to live with, but also, you know, validate that they're probably going through something, and then, you know, just try to help her with it a little bit. Next question. I'm dreading Christmas. I like Christmas with my friends, but not with extended family. We'll be going to my brother's for Christmas, and people will be nice, etc. But people will be negative and start talking about really stupid stuff. I just sit there and count the minutes until I can leave. How can I make my time better there? You know what? Welcome to what is a really common Christmas experience. part of what you're facing in a situation like this is, and people don't think about what is missing. They think what's missing is that people should just be nicer. But usually what is missing in these kind of extended family events is there's structure. I mean, usually the structure is, what are we going to eat and when are we going to eat and are we going to get gifts and are we going to open up gifts? It's harder to have a good time when that's the only structure that's in place. It's a lot easier to have a good time if you even have, you know, some kind of structure where the, you know, where there's, let's say there's a family game that is played. In my family, we play a card game, so you could really avoid all of the messes of a lot of holidays just by everybody playing cards. You could, you know, you can get traditions going. Like, you can make a decision that you would like to, you know, do things like bring board games that you like to play. You know, here's what, you know, if we were putting, if we adults were looking around at these Christmas holiday, Christmas event things that we go to, and if we were to put children in that exact same situation and all we did was put some food there, and then we just put a whole bunch of kids together in the room and just told them they should eat at a particular time, and then we left, we would all expect it to be a big interpersonal mess when we got back because we weren't giving them anything to do. And adults need things to do. It's a lot more fun to go to any event where there's some structure. Now, you said you're going to your brother's for Christmas and that people will be nice, but they'll also be negative and they'll start talking about really stupid stuff, to quote you. And then what you're doing is you're sitting there passively doing nothing about it. So, you know, why not try a little bit of a proactive approach here? Call your brother and anybody else who are stakeholders in this and have, you know, some influence. So if you have other siblings that are, you know, have influence in the family and who, you know, might be having a similar kind of experience to yours, you know, call them and see if anybody wants to play the game of life, or does he think anybody would like to play some kind of a Christmas holiday game, or. I'm going to an event this year, for instance, where there's going to be some sort of conversation, some sort of event planned around, it's sort of a ritual planned around, I'm missing the words that I'm looking for, sort of praising achievements, like what's happened in the past year, and making sure that people have a chance to say, hey, I'd like to say what I did this last year, and then everybody gets to say yay or clap or whatever. And they're putting it together in a simple little thing, and that will, you know, that's going to provide some structure. Part of what happens in situations like the one that you're describing is when there's nothing planned, the default for the human mind is to go negative. So, in other words, unless you put together effort for something to be positive, the default setting on the human mind is to get afraid. It's to get angry. It's to start looking at the stuff around that I don't like. And that's probably hardwired into us because it probably has some survival value, all of those things, to be a little angry, to be a little afraid, to be a little, you know, looking at things that we should keep out of our lives. So if you don't proactively do something here with this situation, you are going to have that exact same experience you've had, you know, every Christmas for however long, you know, this has been going on. So, you know, try to step up here a little, plan a little something that, you know, might have some, might get a little bit of traction, that people might be interested in doing it. It's useful to not try to spring a sort of new family change on people that, you know, just to spring it on. I mean, it's nice to get some involvement and ask people, hey, what about doing this? Which is why I said, you know, call your brother since your brother's hosting, and, you know, call, you know, maybe his wife since it's her house too, I'm assuming. I don't know if it's just his place, but his family. and you know, get any of your other siblings, or, you know, involved in sort of like, hey, what do we want to do this year? And you can make it as related to Christmas as you want. You can Google all sorts of things, family games for Christmas. You'll get some ideas if you do that. But the actual problem here is that you're, you know, just sort of passively being the victim of the non-structure part of this Christmas party. So try to put a little bit of structure in that for yourself. All right. I'm not a big reader, and when I do read, it's mostly fiction. I would like to take the Courage course, but I'm afraid I'll fall behind and will not be able to get the book finished in the time frame and become frustrated. I am like this as a student. I have about 3 hours each week that I can devote to this class. What kind of guidance will I have if I don't finish the book on time? This is I'm thrilled that you asked this class because one of the reasons that I decided to put together just the Courage course, and then I was challenged, and I think I've come up with a really an actual sort of subscriber program is what we've landed on calling it here, for a year of personal growth. For this very reason, I have multiple people over the years who are very good intentioned. I recommend a book because I'm supervising them or I'm consulting with them in one way or another, and I recommend a book because I know that there's something in that book that if they understood it, it would be really good for them, and also books are inexpensive, and you know, lots of times people want to do a little homework, so they go out and they get the book, and they read part of it almost always, but they practically never get through it. And some of that is that they're not just like what you just said, you know, they're not big readers. And I wasn't a big reader either. I didn't read until I got to college. I mean, I knew how to read, but really, I didn't read in grade school and high school. People say, how'd you get through school? And it's like, I don't know. I don't think I could have done it now. But I liked school. I never missed. And I was a good student that way. But I didn't really come to appreciate the value of a book until I was literally almost 20. So I've become like this person who loves books now, despite growing up in a context where book reading was not a big part of what the family was doing. So I'm a huge fan of books, and I keep wanting people to read books, and people do read them, but they don't get out of them what I do. And at some point I realized that's because I went off and I've been studying psych stuff from the time I was 18 until I was 35, and then I kept studying after, in a formal way. I just described my classroom work and my supervision work. And then the last 20 years, I've studied on my own, and mostly I study by using books. But I really, really, finally, it's in my head that most people are not actually going to get out of a book what I do. And that's okay. People learn in different ways. So the whole point of doing the Courage courses, in fact, later today there's going to be a video uploaded if it gets all rendered and ready for the public, where I'm going to actually say, hey, don't take any of these courses with me. Just go buy these books. And I have the books listed. I'm going to describe in the video what I think the books are good for. I'm suggesting that people do the books at 1 month, at a pace of one a month, and that they will have, if they do the 12 books, a really incredible year of personal growth for 2013. I don't believe, I'm putting that up there because I hope people who I've never even met will find the website and take the direction, and that will help them with their trying to figure out which self-help books are good ones. But I don't believe many people will do that because people just don't. And so the point of, you know, will you be able to get a lot out of the course even if you don't read the book? Yes. I'm teaching it exactly with the idea that most people are not actually going to read the book, but they will have the book, and there might be some things in it that you will read. For instance, there are stories in it that I think everybody would find interesting, and so I say something like, read the story from, you know, on page 18 and 19. In the Courage book, for instance, there is a story about the about conversations that went on between a husband and a wife. He was on the United Flight, was it 53? It was the fourth plane on the 9/11 attacks, and it was the one where the passengers took the plane back from the hijackers, the terrorists, and then they made sure that it landed in a field. In other words, they made a very courageous decision to kill themselves so that others would not be killed. Or they all knew they were going to die. They just made a decision that since they were going to die, they were going to die in their own way, and they weren't going to take other people out. And they actually voted on this. So it's an amazing story. I think it's a story worth reading. What I do is I suggest that, like, that story is on this from page this to page that, and you should just go take a look and read it. I recommend that you go take a look at a couple of tables, and I walk you through the tables to explain them and why I think they're pretty good tables. So there's also a workbook, you know, so if you're thinking that this is mostly you're going to be alone, you're mostly not going to be alone. There's also a discussion forum, so you can type questions in and comments. And my hope is that we get kind of a nice learning community going. We'll see how shy people are. I don't know. But I think, the other part of this is if something's really discouraging you and you can't, you know, you're really afraid of it and you really can't get around it, we are going to allow people to actually schedule coaching sessions with me if they want to do that. But I think the course will be plenty, and then that most people will not do that and won't need it, won't feel like they need it. But, that's always an option too. So if you are worried about falling behind, you probably, if you're able to just watch the videos, and there are about, I'm trying to pull up in my memory bank because we're working on multiple courses now. On any given week, roughly, it's going to be about an hour, a little over an hour of video. Maybe, I don't think any week that we put together, and when I say week, I mean sort of a module. I kind of recommend, you know, see if you can do this module in a week. And, I'm going to say that the most was 2 hours. So I think you'll be able to do it. Okay, let's move on to the next question. I'm having a few people over for dinner on Christmas this year. Do you think I should also buy them a gift? I don't. I'm probably the worst person to judge some of this Christmas stuff with, because I'm so into just being with people, and this is exactly how I celebrate Christmas. It's like, you know, one festive time with one group after another. I love doing that. I think if the tradition you have is that, you know, this is a group of people that you exchange gifts with, and you've decided not to, it depends on the, I mean, I have friends who I sometimes give gifts to, then they don't give me, and then another year they'll give me a gift and I won't be getting them a gift. And, you know, it doesn't seem to make a difference to anybody. It probably depends more on if somebody finds a cool gift that they want to give, or maybe on if people have enough money that year, whatever it is. But some friendship groups are really fluid like that, and you know, there isn't a whole big accounting thing of you know, I gave you a gift and you didn't give me a gift and all of that kind of stuff. For me, being together is a gift. So if I was invited to your place for Christmas dinner, I wouldn't expect a gift. But let me see if I'm reading this. I'm having a few people over for dinner on Christmas. Oh, do you think I should? I don't know. I mean, you have to. That has to go according to the social norms of that particular group. You know, as I said, I personally believe that the invitation to a meal is a gift, but that kind of really depends on your group. I mean, what's the norm there? All right, looking at the time, I feel like I missed one of these questions, but I'm making sure that I've just gone in order and that I didn't, I feel like I read one that that's not here. Well, maybe I'm confused. Here it is. My husband and I had the most amazing sex last night. This is why I remembered. I knew there was a sex question on this list somewhere. We've had a dry spell for about 2 months. We did things last night we've never done before, and it was awesome. And I say awesome like that because it's all in capitalized. Anyway, congratulations that you had amazing sex last night. We've been together for 2 years and have never really talked about sex or what we like. My husband and I did not talk about last night. We just both smiled at each other afterwards. How do couples talk about sex? I would like to have more of what we did last night for sure, but I'm not sure how to bring it up. How do you suggest I bring it up? Well, I think you want to bring it up pretty soon. Let's start there, you know, while the memory is, you know, nice and fresh and everybody's body is still enjoying the memory too. And I think you want to just open it up with sort of a broad statement and make any of these statements that you think are true. You might say something very simple like, I've been thinking about us. I think sexually we're both pretty shy people. You know, like, you know, for a while we weren't having any sex and then last night was really, really nice for me. And from your smile, I thought it was, you know, it seemed like it was really, really nice for you too. And I don't know exactly how we communicated all of that stuff because it was really nice to have a change of pace last night, and I just enjoyed that. And I'm just wondering, what do you think about talking to each other more? And he's probably going to say good, but as long as it doesn't become like the talking takes away from the actual event, because that can happen too. I think, you know, I think couples make this a little harder on themselves than they have to. If you, I usually try to just turn this into something simple. If somebody plans a date for you and they'd say, hey, I have something in mind, and you say, what is it? And they say, it's a surprise, and you say, okay. And then they take you to your favorite restaurant. You smile and you go, oh, this is so sweet of you to remember that I liked this restaurant. You know, we all know how to do that. So sexually, why not pursue that same sort of effort? Like, oh, it's really nice of you to remember that I like laying on my side, or that I don't like laying on my side, or that I don't like a pillow there, or that I do like a pillow right there. You know, whatever it is that you want to, you know, whatever it is that you think was remembered about you personally, just be show some gratitude and some around language. Just say thanks for remembering that, and then you know, think about it when people also do something extra special for you. And I mean, we don't turn these things into big long dialogue things. We usually just say, hey, thanks, that meant a lot to me that you showed up and helped me vacuum the rug. Well, how does that translate to things sexually? Hey, that meant a lot to me that you remembered to turn the light off or to turn the light on, or that you brushed your teeth before you came to bed, or whatever it is. Whatever it is that meant something to you. So, the conversation in bed should mimic kind of how you're talking outside the bed. You know, don't try to turn it into that some sort of special vocabulary, and maybe a little specialized vocabulary. It's helpful to know parts. It's helpful to know things. It's helpful to know how to describe yourself and some of your reactions, and to understand his body. So I suppose there's a little bit of vocabulary that isn't going to be used in many places besides your bedroom or wherever you're having sex. But mostly, you know, the how do people talk about sex is that it's how they talk about everything else. You know, like don't overthink this one too much. Just talk to him about what meant a lot to you, about what you appreciated, about what was surprising, about what was fun, about what was new, about what was, you know. And that's exactly how you would talk about a vacation that you took. Hey, we went to Busch Gardens. I've never seen a roller coaster like that. It was really funny. My stomach felt like this. And, you know, it's the same thing. Just fill him in and ask him some questions so that you can get filled in a little bit more about what his experience was like. All right. I hope that's helpful. And I thought I saw another question come in, and while I was talking, and I didn't. I think I have covered them all. All right. I'm Dr. Julie Helmrich. I'm a psychologist. Tune in on Monday. And also, we'll take a look at my website over the weekend, juliehelmrich.com. There's going to be some cool stuff for people who go there this weekend. And by this weekend, I mean between now and we're probably going to have some sort of cutoff date. Let's call it Saturday night midnight. No, we will let the Sunday people in on this too. Sunday night midnight. All right. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.